Romans chapter 8, verse number 14, 15, 16. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God," or "these are the children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." There's a couple ways to look at this verse, and I wrote down a couple translations. One of the translations says, "For as many as by the Spirit of God are being led, they are the sons of God." Another one says, "Those who follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God." I have a book called Sparkling Gems, and in the book he goes through daily devotions. And so I started to look up what that word led means. And it's kind of interesting. The lower word led comes from a Greek word argo, ego. It goes to agon, and from agon it goes to agony. There are times that being led by the Spirit of God brings agony, because there's a fight between our spirit and the Holy Spirit of who's in charge. And so we struggle with that. Am I going to listen to what God says? Am I going to listen to what the Word has to say? Am I going to follow the principles and teachings of Jesus? Or am I just going to want to make sure I don't miss heaven? There has to come a transition from just wanting to get rid of my sins and going to heaven to being led by the Spirit of God. And when you make up your mind, if you haven't already made it up, to be led by the Spirit of God, there's going to be some agony there. There's going to be some fights there. There's going to be some struggles there. There are going to be some intense times. There are going to be some times when we whine a little bit. Why me, Lord? But if you don't make that transition, you're fair game for the enemy. And so we come to a place where we have to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus was God, and yet he was man at the same time. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1 that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Now look at me for a moment. Jesus knew what was going on. But he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. He allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him to a place of confrontation. Well, Satan would question his existence, question his deity, question who he was, and then finally say, "You know, if you'll just bow down before me, I'll give you the whole world." What is he saying? Most likely, "Hey, if you just do what I want you to do, you won't have to die." But if he would have done what Satan wanted him to do, he couldn't have died. It wouldn't have done any good. And then when Jesus was done with the temptation, the Bible says in verse 14, he went forth in the power of the Spirit. There are things that we go through. There are things that happen to us. And the first thing the Holy Spirit does, he leads us to Christ. He glorifies Jesus in our lives. We walk this life out. And that's the first step. We are convicted by him. We're made aware of our sin. We're made aware of the fact that we need a Savior. There's not one single person on this earth that can look at God and say, I don't need you. They're deceived where they don't want to come to him. They're looking at things that said, well, I'm okay. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. If all God had is that you could compare yourself to somebody else to be saved, that would have been simple for Jesus, but it doesn't work. So he leads us to Jesus. He leads us through the good times and bad times. Looking at you, none of you have ever had any good times. But he takes us and walks us through all the things that are happening, that are blessing us, that are making us feel good. Although he's not basically most concerned about your feelings, he's most concerned about your maturity. Amen? We have feelings, undoubtedly. And then when the things turn, and things get uncomfortable and sorrowful and painful and things are happening, he'll lead us through those as well. He leads us to people. People that need Jesus. People who are religious but not born again. People who go to church and thinking, that's all I need. I just need to go to church. I just need my Sunday fix. Your Sunday fix doesn't do anything for you but make you feel good. And in here, sometimes it doesn't do that even. And so we go through that. You know what else he does? He leads us to heaven. How many have ever been there? Where is it? Holy Spirit knows. And so we walk this life out being led by the Spirit, but here's the deal. There's a battle going on even in Christians. Who's in charge of my life? Who's the one in control? Who's the one I'm going to follow? Am I going to listen to my friends and follow what they think? Next time they inform you that God is this and God is that and God is something else, ask them, who made you God? How do you know all that? Next time they laugh at you for going to church on Wednesday night, ask them, well, why don't you? Next time they wonder why you read the Bible and why you pray, ask them, how are you going to get to heaven? It's very basic, my friends. There's more to Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit than just a sinner's prayer. There's a commitment to walk this life out, not under our leadership, not under your leadership, but under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That we're going to live this life, we're going to walk it out, we're going to make it. But what begins to happen is that Satan wants to undermine that. He'd rather have you live by how you feel. How many of you were really excited to jump out of bed, whether it was 0 or 10 below or 5 below this morning? How many of you were just happy to get your feet on that cold floor if there wasn't carpet? And you'd rather have rolled up and pulled those covers over your head and just stayed in bed? But there's a discipline that the Spirit brings to us why He's leading us. I've heard people say, well, he don't talk to me. Really? I can guarantee you how the Holy Spirit will talk to you every day. Just open the book. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the Word. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. It's God-breathed. You know something else? As you begin to get in the Word, you're more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. How many know that's true? And He begins to lead us down a path. I got an email from somebody this week, and their question was, Pastor, how can I know the will of God? How can I know the will of God? How do I know what the Holy Spirit really wants me to do? I want to tell you something. God's a lot more concerned about what you are than what you do. God is bringing us to a place of maturity and walking the life of God out in the Spirit, being conformed to the image of God. And as we are conformed to the image of God and we begin to walk this out, then He leads us with vocation or occupation or ministry or whatever He wants to do. But first, He wants you to live and walk and act as Jesus did. He wants us to come to a place where we have given God control. How many of you know anybody that's partially saved? I don't know which leg or which arm. How many of you met somebody that said, well, my right leg is going to heaven? Doesn't happen. God wants every one of us to absolutely, radically surrender to His Spirit. Look at me. The next verse says, God has not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear. But He gave us adoption as sons. Let's tie these together. Why are Christians bound with fear? Why are Christians going through all kinds of anxiety? Why are Christians at times no different than the people in the world, but in name? Because they're not being led by the Spirit. Because we control our own lives. Because we're going to do what we want to do. And if Christianity isn't convenient at a time, we're going to do something else. When it is convenient to be a Christian, we'll walk that out. We'll live it. Christianity isn't based on convenience, it's based on relationship. It's not disowning God when we want to be part of the crowd. And it's not embracing God on Sunday morning. We're walking this out. We're going through this. We're following the leader. Our affections and our minds are set on Christ. And we live it. And until that commitment is made, Satan has every right to play with your mind. He has every right to attack you and do the things that you're doing. When you get led by the Spirit and you begin to walk this life out, his attacks aren't so bad anymore. Fact is, sometimes you almost embrace it because you know that you're going to overcome him through the Spirit, and you understand if he's not bothering me, I must not be doing anything important. Love the way you're shouting. But there's this walk in God that is developed. Now let me come. Are we okay? You better say this. I love pastor fearing. Now here we go. You want to hear the rest of it? How many really want to hear the rest of it? Okay. A church should never have problems getting workers. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Because there should be a waiting list of people who want to be led by the Spirit and have the Spirit get into those children's life or those adults' lives or whatever it might be. They're taking what they've learned from God and they're giving it out and they're imparting. They're imparting. They're imparting to see those children rise up. I had a young man, two young men, in Virginia. They're the only ones I've ever kicked out of a church. I drove out to their parents and said, I'm not picking these kids up anymore until they learn how to behave in church. I mean, they'd be throwing airplanes across the sanctuary and get up and talk and get up and do things. One of the young men now has been a pastor. Good friend of mine, comes to the pastor's conference up north. And it was my privilege to invest that life into him after things straightened out. I have several young men and women who we've led to Christ over the years in the ministry. Why? Because you impart. Friends, you're always imparting something. You're imparting the mind of God in people, or you're imparting your mind in people. And as we're led by the Spirit, we begin to grow to a place where we want to impart. My prayer is that some of you get so full up with the Word, if you don't give it out, you're going to explode. I'm going to get out of the way. God has imparted and imparted and imparted to us. And it's the old illustration. Why is the Dead Sea dead? It has no outlets. It just takes water in and water in and water in and water in and never gives out anything. In your walk with God, we shouldn't be worried about us being in bondage. We should be concerned about breaking the bondage of others, of setting people free, of allowing the captives to go free in Jesus' name. But many of us have got used to sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. And we're not being led by the Spirit. Because if you're interested in retiring, God only has one retirement plan. This is the time, friends, to be led by the Spirit wherever he wants to take you. Look at me. If God tells you to go to Hawaii in January, not for vacation, but to minister, he'll provide for it. You'll say, but that's a luxurious place. Don't worry about it. He wants you there for a purpose. And if God wants you in Antarctica, he'll make a way for you to get there too. The Spirit will lead us where God wants us to go. We don't have to be worried about lining up ministries and doing this and doing something else. All we have to be concerned about is walking this life out in the Spirit. We get the cart before the horse. Well, I need a place to minister. No, you don't. We first of all need to be ministered to. And as we're ministered to, God opens that door to minister. Amen? It's very interesting. If you don't understand this statement, we need to let go of the reins. You know what that means? How many knows what that means? You know, horses, even during storms, and Frida could probably tell you this better than I can, know the way how to get home. How many understand that? But if you're going to make them turn right or go in circles or do whatever, you're not going to get there. If you just let go of the reins, most likely that horse will get you home. If you let go of the reins of your life, the Holy Spirit's not only going to get you home, but he's going to give you a prosperous time on the earth. Ministry-wise, people-wise, friends-wise, whatever God has taken you to, he's going to fulfill. And there comes a time we say, okay, God, I trust you with my life. There may be opposition, and usually if there's not opposition, it's not God. Don't back away from the opposition. Don't back away from somebody saying, well, you can't do that. I know I can't. But God can. Amen? God could do it through you. I've sat with people many times, not having a clue what to say. And then something weird comes out of my mouth that I never thought of. That's the answer. Kirk says I'm weird all the time. But thanks, Carol. If you weren't having soup next week, you'd be out of here. And so we sit and we wait for some angel to come and say, go do this. The Holy Spirit is saying, I'll lead you. Now, as was said on Wednesday night, God doesn't push us. God doesn't drag us. That word led is very simple. Take my hand. Oh, you're blessed. And all that word means is gently lead. That's how the Holy Spirit does it. He just gently leads. And he gently leads. And we walk that out. We live that out. It's not that he's dragging us. God doesn't do that. But just don't be on a horse if you're resisting. God leads us gently. It's not always pleasant. It's not always fun. But it's always profitable. I had somebody stop in this week and went over to their house, and a man was there that basically is in class one of knowing about God. First class. Hasn't been through anything. As we're done talking, I look at him and I said, you know, is there any reason why today you don't want to receive Christ? And he looked at me, no, none that I can think of. And so he did. Not only does the Holy Spirit lead you to the people that he wants you to go to or the ministry he wants you in, but he's also prepared their hearts. And even in your daily life, as you're talking with people, as you're working with people, as you're living that life of the Spirit, you need to ask sometime, is there any reason why today you don't accept Christ? You're not putting any pressure on. If you're here today, you're not living for Jesus, is there any reason that today you can't accept Christ? Because the Holy Spirit always leads us to Jesus. He always glorifies Jesus. He takes from Christ and gives it to us. And the big decision is this. Am I going to follow? Am I going to follow? You know, we think it's about people whose lives are absolutely radically messed up. And so they need Jesus and they need to be led by the Spirit out of their valley that they're in. Maybe not. Maybe it's about so-called Christians who are content with what they have and content in just walking it out with doing nothing and coming to a place where, well, I go to church and I smile at Kirk and Marnie and that makes them happy, and I don't walk out in the middle of song service, so I'm just an on-fire Christian. For who? Who am I on fire for? So that's what this is about. I had to tell God, Lord, you lead. I got all these things I can be doing, but Lord, you lead me. I can run around till the cows come home. So can you. But who do you want me to go to? Who plans your schedule? I understand work. I understand that. Who plans your free time? And what do you do with it? It's fun to have Facebook. I can tell you most of you do. I'm in my jammies. I'm getting ready to go to bed. I wish my hubby was here. At least once or twice a week. And so we find out what people's doing. I never told anybody your name. How come you're all looking over one way? That must be some wonderful husband. Best in the world. Yeah, that's best in the world. In her world, there's only one man. And so what do we do? We come to a place of saying, Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm not planning it tonight to sit home and watch TV for 4 hours or 5 hours or watch videos or watch this or watch that. If I'm going to be home, let my children or grandchildren see me in the Word of God. Let them recognize that I need to grow in Christ so they can grow in Christ. If I'm home, maybe I need to make a few calls and call people I didn't see in church on Sunday and say, hey, I missed you. Maybe I need to keep a list of people that I really need to pray for going through some tough times. Most of you didn't know that Larry spent Thursday night in the hospital. Need a prayer. How are you doing, bud?
Hey, we're going to keep you one more night, but I had two gentlemen that came into the hospital and prayed for me.
God did something.
That happened, the doctor come in there and says,
sent you home.
Sent you home.
You see, and I'm done. I got some more stuff, but I'm not going to preach anymore. You have to allow God to lead you for Him to lead you. It has to be a purpose of your life. It has to come to a place where I hunger for this, I long for this, I want this. And you let Him do it. But when you let Him do it, He does it for the glory of Jesus and the glory of the Father. How do I really glorify Him? I glorify Him by living my life in the Spirit of God. When that happens, what an amazing event transpires in our lives. Because as we're led by Him, He renews our mind. We don't think the same way we used to. We begin to walk it out.